angels and archangels and all the company of heaven with All Saints Day. And now these last weeks, we count down and focus on the reality of a God who holds us all accountable, who comes to judge the living and the dead. Not a day for Christians to be afraid of, but a day of joy and anticipation. We pray that God would bless us with that joy and that anticipation. Last Sunday here at Good Shepherd, we prayed that God would be with Good Shepherd member Lyle Muth as it appeared that his last hours were upon us. Lyle was called home on Tuesday morning, and the funeral was Friday afternoon this past week at Lyle's home congregation, St. John Lutheran Church in rural Columbus. Please keep Norma and the rest of the family, two of Lyle's daughters are also members here at Good Shepherd. Please keep the family in your prayers, and we pray that their comfort would be in the crucified and risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today is kind of a bittersweet day in the world. It is a day you may have noticed as you pulled in today, all the flags in the driveway. The school kids did that. We had our big Heroes Day celebration this last Friday in honor of Veterans Day, giving thanks to all those who serve not only in the armed forces, but also those who protect and serve in various other vocations. 100 years ago today, 11:11 at 11 a.m., in 1918, World War I came to a close, Armistice Day. And so there are celebrations all around the world celebrating peace, and there are people who are facing the sad reality that evil exists in our world, and with that evil comes wars and rumors of wars and all the attendant things. I think the readings for this time of the church year are especially important for us as we face that reality in the boldness and confidence, knowing Jesus is crucified and risen for our sin and has overcome even sin, death, and the grave. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn is number 912, Christ is our cornerstone. Please stand on the last verse of that hymn. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service, setting 3, page 184 and following. I have a worship insert. The readings are on one side, the propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. And before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gifts that you give us. And today we rejoice in the gift of peace. We ask you to bless all those in our world that they would be instruments for you and instruments of peace. We thank you for all those who have served and protected, and especially for those who have given the ultimate sacrifice so that we can enjoy our freedoms and life in peace. Heavenly Father, the peace that the world gives is but a pale comparison to the peace that you bring, the peace that surpasses all understanding. The peace that is the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation, won by the life, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. As we patiently wait for that day when we see you face to face, Heavenly Father, may that peace, your peace, dwell in us and among us today and always. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Hymn 912.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We sing the introit appointed for the day.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we implore you, show your mercy to your humble servants that we, who put no trust in our own merits, may not be dealt with after the severity of your judgment, but according to your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Continue with the readings. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for the 25th Sunday after Trinity is from Exodus chapter 32. This text will also serve as the basis for our sermon today. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, "Up! Make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who has brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." So Aaron said to them, "Take off the rings of gold that are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people took off the rings of gold that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. And they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord." And they rose up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, for your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them. They have made for themselves a golden calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.'" And the Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, in order that I may make a great nation of you." But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, "O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought up out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'With evil intent did he bring them out, to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth'? Turn from your burning anger and relent from this disaster against your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, 'I will multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven, and all this land that I have promised I will give to your offspring, and they shall inherit it forever.'" And the Lord relented from the disaster that he had spoken of bringing on his people. Then Moses turned and went down from the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, tablets that were written on both sides. On the front and on the back they were written. The tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. When Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, "There is a noise of war in the camp." But he said, "It is not the sound of shouting for victory or the sound of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing that I hear." And as soon as he came near the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, Moses' anger burned hot, and he threw the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. He took the calf that they had made and burned it with fire and ground it to powder and scattered it on the water and made the people of Israel drink it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual. Your foes have roared in the midst of your meeting place. They set up their own signs for signs. Remember your congregation, which you have purchased of old, which you have redeemed to be the tribe of your heritage. The epistle is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel, the Alleluia, and verse. According to St. Matthew, the 24th chapter.
Glory.
Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who is on the housetop not go down to take what is in the house. And let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. And alas, for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days, pray that your flight may not be in winter or on a Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now. No, and never will be. And if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Then, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. So, if they say to you, look, he is in the wilderness, do not go out. If they say, look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. This is the gospel of our Lord. We confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated. Continue now with our hymn of the day, Preserve Your Word, O Savior, 658.
Many of us have had this situation happen to us in life where maybe you're a young child and you're walking through the mall with your mom and your dad and you see something in the storefront window that just immediately catches your eye. It's that toy that you've heard about on the radio or seen on television, and you can only imagine how much joy and gladness you would find if you had that. And so you go up to mom and dad and beg and plead, please, will you get this for me? And they simply say, be patient. Your birthday's just around the corner, and who knows? If you wait, you might just get it. And of course, you have to go a little disappointed back home, but you still have that hope inside that maybe someday it will be yours. And there are many other situations in life that we have this type of waiting and hope for the future. Maybe it's when you're going through high school and you just can't wait to graduate and finally have the opportunity to go off to college. Or maybe you've had a lot of years in the workforce already and you just can't seem to wait for that special age where you can retire. And so you try to speed things up a little bit. You sell everything you have, or maybe even you think about breaking the seventh commandment, you shall not steal, and think of other ways to maybe embezzle money to retire early. Once you get into those good golden years in your retirement and you find that most of your days are full of reading or watching television or simply waiting for someone to call you or stop over for a visit, then you may get to wondering, what good am I here on this earth? Why has the Lord not called me home yet? And your mind starts to drift where it shouldn't, possibly even to break the fifth commandment, you shall not murder. How may I end my life a little quicker here, so I don't have to wait in this agony? Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we are called to wait and wait patiently for the Lord in His salvation. We will be celebrating this very quickly here at church. We are rapidly coming to the end of this green season, and soon we'll be into the blue season of the church, the season of Advent. Advent literally means coming. We are waiting for the coming of our Savior. And of course, on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, we will celebrate that coming with Jesus, who has come to us as a little baby in Bethlehem. But here now in these later days, we have an even greater coming to wait for and anticipate. The second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, when He will come again in glory to raise up the living and the dead, to have the final judgment, and take all of us who believe to our eternal paradise in heaven, while at the same time sending the unbelieving world into their eternal judgment in hell. We've already been waiting over 2,000 years for this, and we might have to wait another 2,000, but regardless, we are called to wait and wait patiently for the Lord in His salvation. But this, of course, is not easy for us, especially in our age of instant gratification. If you want to know the meaning to a word, it's right at your fingertips. Look it up on Google. If you are a little bit hungry, but you don't want to spend the time to cook, just head on down the street to the local fast food joint. If you have those special days ahead, maybe your wedding vows to make in the near future, but don't want to wait, the world says you can engage in premarital intercourse. It's fine. No. We are called to wait. Wait for the Lord. And this is something that is just not hard for us to do here in the 21st century. It's been a problem for God's people throughout all times and generations. That's what we hear a little bit about in our Old Testament reading from Exodus chapter 32. The people of Israel were an impatient people. They are waiting at the foot of Mount Sinai, and they only had to wait there 40 days and 40 nights as Moses is up on the mountain receiving the testimony of the Lord. But they couldn't do it. They couldn't wait even 40 days and 40 nights for the Lord to send Moses back down to them. They thought to themselves, maybe Moses is dead. After all, a sinner cannot stand in the presence of a holy God even for one moment. And here Moses has been gone for days and days and days. What are we going to do? How are we going to get to that good land, that land of Cana? I know. We'll go to Aaron and ask a special favor from him. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, "Up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." When we are impatient and are not willing to wait for the Lord in what he has promised to do for us, then it becomes very easy to break that first commandment, just as the people of Israel did. You shall have no other gods. They had asked Aaron to make for them this false god, this golden calf. They no longer feared God and his wrath against their sin. They no longer trusted in God and his promise that he had made to them to take them to this good land of Cana. But they thought that they would get there on their own, through their own power and might. And what happens when you break that first commandment? You shall have no other gods. Then it becomes a lot easier to break all the other commandments after that. And so, the people of Israel did. And they rose up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. It's not that they had gone to their church service that morning and now they were rising up to play, that is, they were going to go out and watch a football game or basketball game or something like that. No. They rose up to play, that is, to commit adultery with one another and worship this false god, just as their pagan neighbors worshiped their false god, by engaging in adultery with one another to try to please this false god. And what happens when we break God's commandments? What happens when we fall away from him? God, in his justice, rightly has his anger burning against us. The Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, in order that I may make a great nation of you." In his justice, he was going to annihilate this people and make a great nation out of Moses. But thanks be to God that the people of Israel had a mediator between them and God, this man Moses, just as we also have a mediator between us in God, our Lord Jesus Christ. And Moses, as the mediator, did just what he should have done. He confronted the Lord right to his face and implored the Lord his God and said, "O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought up out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Instead, turn from your burning anger and remember. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, 'I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I promised I will give to your offspring, and they shall inherit it.' forever. Moses did exactly what he was supposed to do. He turned God's anger away from the people and again made the Lord remember his awesome promises that he had made towards them. And so the Lord did relent of his burning anger. He allowed Moses to go back down the mountain and do just as he had promised to do for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the Old Testament. He allowed Moses to lead his people off to that good promised land, the land of Canaan. And this is what happens for us too still today. When we break the first commandment, you shall have no other gods. And because of that, we break all the rest of the commandments after that. God is just to look down from heaven on us and be angry and have his anger burn against us. But we know from 1 Timothy 2, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. When God's anger is burning against us, Jesus Christ, our Lord, turns his anger away from ourselves and places it instead on him. He says, "Dear Father, remember what I have done for these people. Remember how I have lived a perfect life in their stead. How I have taken that perfect life and sacrificed it once for all on Calvary's cross, shedding my holy precious blood to cover all their sins. Remember how I have taken all your wrath upon me on that cross and fulfilled it completely and totally. Remember how I have used my servants, their pastors, to proclaim into their ears that their sins are forgiven. Remember how I have washed them clean in the waters of holy baptism, giving them my own righteousness so that they can be holy and perfect, just as I am holy and perfect. And remember, dear Father, how I have given them my very body and blood to eat and to drink, to continue to remind them that they are forgiven. They have life and salvation through what I have done. So turn from your burning anger and relent of it." And so God does. When he looks down from heaven on us, he no longer sees us wallowing in our sins and continually falling away from him. Instead, he sees us as baptized believers in Jesus Christ, those people who are holy and perfect, just as Jesus our Lord is holy and perfect. And so now, what are we to do? We who are baptized believers in Jesus, we who are the holy, perfect people of God, we are to wait. Wait patiently for the Lord in his salvation, which is sure to come. For the Lord has promised, just as he had sent Moses down the mountain to lead his people out into this good land, this land of Canaan, so also he has promised us that someday he shall send his Son, Jesus Christ, down from heaven to raise up the living and the dead, to have the final judgment, and take all of us who believe and lead us off to the better, eternal promised land promised to us, the new heavens and the new earth, where we will live together with God, not just as souls, but body and soul together forever in paradise. So wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord and have the confidence to pray the prayer that we just had a moment ago. Almighty God, we implore you, show your mercy to your humble servants that we, who put no trust in our own merits, may not be dealt with after the severity of your judgment, but according to your mercy. God has judged you in mercy. He has judged you through his Son, Jesus Christ, that you are holy and perfect people. And so now wait. Wait for the Lord and the promises that he has for you. Wait by engaging in the Word of God at home to be continually reminded and encouraged of these promises that God has for you. Teach these promises to your children and to your grandchildren. Go to church to hear God's word proclaimed and receive the forgiveness of sins through His sacraments. And even while we have the opportunity to wait here in this earth, go out and share this good news with other people so that they also can hear of what Jesus has done for them, that they may not be judged according to their many sins, but according to God's mercy, as He has promised for us. Wait for the Lord in His salvation. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time now, we stand for the offertory.
Welcome in the name of Jesus, who teaches us to wait patiently for His return. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship, pat at the end of each row. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of a God who has sent His righteous anger on Jesus instead of us would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
This time we continue with the prayer of the church. Please stand. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs, responding, Lord, have mercy. For all who are baptized and clothed in the righteousness of Christ, that they would be strong and that their hearts would take courage as they wait for the coming of the Son of Man, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Holy Christian Church throughout the world, and especially for our Synod and her pastors, including Matthew, our Synod President, our District President, our Circuit Visitor, and all the other pastors in our circuit, that repentance and the forgiveness of sins in Christ's name would be proclaimed to all in the pews, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the healing of divisions among God's people, that the Lord would curb sinful ambition, silence the desires of our sinful flesh, and grant us hearts to be reconciled with each other in Christian love, so that all people would know that we are His disciples, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For true humility among the saints, that we may never be arrogant, nor prideful, nor going against your word and thus provoking your wrath, but in all lowliness that we may be made partakers of all the good gifts of God's grace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our national, state, and local officials, and for those who are recently elected to office, and all others who now work in the government, and for all who contribute to our general welfare, that God would grant them wisdom and temperance, and for our police, firefighters, and all those who serve in the armed forces, especially this Veterans Day, that they may be kept from harm and danger, and that, in accordance with God's will, peace may be established throughout all the world, even in our day and age. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all of those who are sick or injured, or dealing with difficulties or suffering in any way, shape, or form, especially those among us whom we now name, including Al Bach, Joyce, the family of Lyle Muth mourning his loss, Kim, Donna, Pastor Arlen Russert, Sherry, Caitlin, Carol, Vernita, Jared, the family of Clara Sankson who passed away, Wayne, Sheldon, the family of Burton Pfluger, whose mother was taken to her eternal rest this week, Riker, Steve, and all others whom we name in our hearts, that no matter what their affliction, no matter what their suffering, no matter what their difficulty, that God would grant them comfort and healing in accordance with His holy, precious will, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all of those who partake of the Holy Eucharist this day, that in the Savior's divine body and blood, they may receive forgiveness for all sins and a life that never ends and the healing of divine love, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all the saints who have gone before us and fallen asleep in Christ, let us give thanks to the Lord that we would encourage one another with the promise that when Jesus returns in great glory, we shall dwell with them in His kingdom that has no end. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit as one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We continue at this time with the service of the sacrament, page 194.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up unto
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly good, right and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the Jesus Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
body of Christ be forgiven. Well, the Lord's name. The body of Christ be forgiven. 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 The body of Christ.
Thank you.
to the Lord's name. The body of Christ.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
We stand and sing. Unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
Kids, you can go get some goodies right now back in here in about 5-7 minutes for our Sunday school opening. With regard to the kids, we're getting closer and closer to our beginning of Christmas program practice. Sheets have gone home with parents, and if you need one, Jess, you want to raise your hand? Jess will get you one. We want the parents to make a commitment that they'll actually get the kids to come and practice and not just show up for Christmas program and then wonder why they don't have a part, some of those kind of things. So great communication device. So any questions about that, talk to Jess and she will answer any of your questions in that respect. All of you are invited for coffee and goodies. Excuse me. Coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall, two opportunities for Bible study. continue. Excuse me. Pray a little harder, will you? Fellowship Hall will continue our study of the book of Romans. Summary of Christian Doctrine continues in room 109. What are we studying today, Pastor?
Today we are studying the fall into sin and the corruption of all creation and death because of that.
Well, sounds like a joyous topic, huh?
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, ties in with our readings for today, too. We were joking on the Proclaiming the One program about Moses threw the tablets down, and then he ground up the golden calf and made the people drink it, and then, this is the word of the Lord. Sometimes the word of the Lord is not a joyous word of the Lord, but is a word of law and a word that we need as well. So thanks be to God for law and gospel. Christmas program, fellowship, Bible studies. Before service started, I gave the announcement about Good Shepherd member Lyle Muth. Things happened very, very quickly during the week. We had prayer last Sunday that Lyle was near death. Lyle passed away on Tuesday. We found out a little later on Tuesday that the funeral would be in Columbus. Things, again, happened very quickly. Pastor Moline and I did the funeral service, but with things are 2 hours away, makes things a little bit difficult. There are some bulletins on the information booth for those of you that knew Lyle and would like to check out the obituary and things like that. There was no obituary in the Lincoln paper either. So please help yourself to those. The big thing we have going on this week is Thursday, our Thanksgiving dinner. We have worship and midweek on Wednesday, as always. But the Thanksgiving dinner is always one of the highlights of the year here at Good Shepherd. I'm very, very thankful that the sign-up sheets are 90% filled up, and thank you for that. We still have a couple of needs, so if you could check that out, especially like picking up people and things like that. And then we have one extra special need. You didn't find anybody since we talked at 7:58, did you? Okay. Patty, stand up and tell them what you need.
Oh my gosh. I need someone who loves the early morning and would like to stop at church about 6:30 Thursday morning to start the turkeys for me. So I will have them all ready. All you have to do is take the turkey out of the refrigerator, put it in a roaster, turn it on, and you're done. So if you would be so willing to do that, please see me. Thank you.
And the Stradleys live
18 miles away.
So that's the reason for this request. So if you can help out in that respect, talk to Patty, and we'll get you taken care of. It's Veterans Day. You see the flags out there. We had the prayers in church. And I think of this every Veterans Day, or at least for the last 15 years. We had a funeral here about 15 years ago. On 11-11 at 11 o'clock. And it was for our member, Ralph Humphrey. And I think of that every Veterans Day. And Ralph lost an arm at Iwo Jima and was very, very dedicated in his service to country, not only in the sacrifice that he gave, but also the help that he provided for many other veterans. And flowers are in memory of Ralph today. And Mildred, I know the memories are great, and we long to see him again in heaven. Ralph Jr., split an image, man. So God's richest blessings in Christ, not only today, but every day. And we thank God for Ralph and for all those who have served and protected in all of the years and opportunities before. Pastor, anything else?
No Life Light this week because of the Thanksgiving meal, and no Life Light next week because of the actual Thanksgiving. So it'll be off for those next 2 weeks before we meet again.
front page of the News and Notes gives a pretty accurate calendar for the things happening. Vicar, good job today. Join us for coffee and goodies and a study of God's Word. Have a great day and week, patiently waiting for the return of our Lord.